Yeah, brother, time to talk with you people. Talk to you people. Is that right? Yes. Sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Pastor Cote. I appreciate the introduction and the hospitality. And sisters, thank you very much as well. Can everyone hear my voice?
Yes.
And you understand my English?
Yes.
Very well.
Are you sure?
We can.
Yes.
All the,
no need interpretation.
We
no, it's fine. It's the young people understand me. I want to bring you a message from the book of Job, chapter number 32 and chapter number 33. But in the beginning, I would like for us to pray together. Our Father, as we gather here, with all of the problems associated with being here, all of the challenges, all of the pain, we pray, Father, that you would be a blessing unto us from your word, that you'd give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that you give us an understanding, not a quick fix, but something that will last into eternity. These children are not owed salvation, but you can be gracious for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Father, be gracious and pity us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Job, chapter 32, is one of my favorite portions in Scripture. I'll tell you the story of Job, if you have not heard it. He was very rich. He was very wealthy in every way, with children, with land, with animals, with property. And he came upon a certain day of loss, and he lost everything. And Job was the most upright and the most righteous man in all of the East. So it wasn't because of his sin or him being cursed by someone or him doing something that he was not supposed to do. It was because God, in his sovereignty, in his rule, and in his wisdom, he decided to test Job and to see how strong Job is and to uphold Job and to make him victorious. But Job's friends came after they heard about his struggle, and they began to blame Job and accuse Job without any reason, because they thought quite wrongly that if you worship God and if you fear God, everything will be well with you on earth. And that's not true. Is it true? Is it true?
No.
That because you believe God here, that you'll no longer be an orphan? Is it true that you will have money?
No.
I believe God and I have less money. I'm a missionary unto the glory of God and the gospel. But Job's friends were wrong. But Job tried to defend himself. And his problem was that he was thinking that I've been righteous all this time, and I've served God in vain. I have served him for nothing. And so he was really thinking that his righteousness made him deserve better. And so let me ask you a question. If you are righteous and you serve God faithfully, can you get sick?
Yes.
Can you die even in youth?
Yes.
Can you get hit by a car?
Yes.
If they travel on the road and you're in the road, yes, you can. So all these things can happen to us and they can come upon us, and it does not mean I'm righteous with God. It may, or I'm unrighteous. It may teach me a lesson and I need to listen unto God. But as we learned from yesterday in church, that we are to bow to whatever God does because he is right and he is gracious. And if we bow to him, he will save our soul and he will be with us and he will help us with his spirit. And so this young man was named Elihu. And he was listening as these older men were going back and forth. These three men were all challenging Job. And then our brother Job would stand up and defend himself. And he's a little bit angry because he's been listening all of these chapters and he hasn't heard them give glory unto God. He has not heard them speak righteously of God. And he says in chapter 32, verse number 6, so Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, replied, I am young in years. He's like you, but probably older. And while you are old, therefore I was timid and afraid to tell you what I know. I had to hold back. I had to let the wisdom of the old men speak. But they were not as wise as he thought in this matter. I thought that age should speak and maturity should teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty that give him an understanding. It's not age alone. It's the spirit of the living God that instructs us with wisdom, even in our youth. So you don't have to wait to be old in order to be wise. You have to have the Spirit of God and his word. And just because a person has much gray hair, it doesn't mean he has wisdom. It depends on his real knowledge of God's word. The kind of knowledge that's in his life. It is not only the old who are wise or the elderly who understand how to judge. Therefore, I say, listen to me. I, too, will declare what I know. Now, Pastor Cote is an older man with the gray hair, and I'm extremely happy to be here because I talked unto him, and he does have wisdom. And he had wisdom to bring me here to preach unto you the gospel. As he heard our preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was happy. So old men can be wise, and you are to listen unto them. But you're to listen unto God Almighty first. Verse 11, look, I waited for your conclusions. I listened to your insights as you sought for words to explain right and wrong. I paid close attention unto you, yet no one proved Job wrong. Not one of you refuted his arguments, that they didn't speak for God. So do not claim we have found wisdom. Let God deal with him, not man. But Job has not directed his arguments to me, and I will not respond to him with your arguments. And Job's friends are dismayed and can no longer answer. They're being reproved by this young man because they can see the spirit of God and of wisdom is in him. He had paid attention. He had listened. And now it was time to speak. And he's going to show us here how to speak unto an older man, unto a wiser man in wisdom. Should I continue to wait now that they are silent? Now that they stand there and no longer answer, I too will answer. Yes, I will tell what I know. I will not be afraid. I have the Bible. I have the wisdom of God. For I am full of words, and my spirit compels me to speak. My heart is like unvented wine. It's about to burst like new wineskins. Verse 20, I must speak so that I can find relief. I have to speak for God. It's mandatory. I must open my lips and respond. And this is what he says. I will be partial to no one. I will not give anyone a flattering title, an undeserved title. He's saying here, I'm going to speak in absolute boldness, for I do not know how to give flattering titles, how to hold back my words and hide truth just because I'm afraid of offending people. That's not wisdom. That's foolish. Otherwise, my maker would take me away in a moment. And here's what he says. As we speak for God, you and me, and we have the wisdom of God Almighty in his word, and we can back up what we say in the scriptures, not our thoughts, not our feelings, not our opinion, but what the Bible says that can be proved. We speak for God. And as we wait and as we listen unto older people, if we take our eyes back unto his word and we learn with understanding, and when I come and when our time comes, men and women, you speak without fear. One of the great things about being a preacher is you must speak without fear, even if your knees are shaking. That means you're scared. But even when you're scared, you must speak without fear, lest my master take me away and take the wisdom out of my mouth. I've been there. I was a young man and I was preaching on that chapter. And it was an older man who did not want to hear everything that God had to say. He only wanted to hear about the forgiveness of sins. He didn't want to hear about obedience and responsibility. And I cowered. I held back some of the word. And I got very scared as I read that portion of scripture. And the very next week, I preached the same text of scripture with boldness and clarity. And I reproved him and everybody else of our sins. And God was with us that night with mighty power. And you should have seen his face. He trembled. He was scared. He could not stand against the wisdom of scripture. And I'm telling you to stand and be bold. Put everything on the line and speak for God. You will not regret it. He will stand with you. He will minister unto you by his spirit. He will show you that courage for God is the best thing that's ever happened to you. And the warning is plain now. It's either I stand and I face the hatred of man with the help of God, or I flatter men, and I hold back part of the Bible, and then God takes away the knowledge I could have had. So that's a choice that me and you must make, to stand for him. Here's point number two, and I almost always have 3 points. Here's point number two. It's in chapter number 33. It's that God speaks unto us. But are we listening? When God speaks in a dream or in a vision, are we listening? Not that he sends an angel down. But even as I'm sleeping, he's teaching me. I had dreams last night that as I woke up, I had to come to God in repentance. I did not do the thing I had dreamed of doing, but in my sleep I did it because it's in my nature, and I need to be scared of it and repent of my sin. Oh, I had a dream back when I was in Lagos. And you know what I saw? I saw the wrath of God. I saw the fires of hell. I saw sinners going into hell. And I was scared for them. And I woke up crying. And you know what the problem was? I had an opportunity to make a lot of money in Lagos. With just a little bit of my time. But the problem was that I have to compromise time of my ministry. And I've been called to do this, to preach the gospel, not to make money. And I thought I could do it in just a few hours and still preach. But my heart kept shifting, and the hours got bigger and bigger. And I had to decide, and I could feel the lust after this world. And you know what happened? My tears dried up. And when I cannot preach and weep, it's because I don't have God in my heart. I'm as dry as bones. If I can't plead for sinners in private with tears, I'm not the man I ought to be. And so I was in this warfare, this struggle of my soul. And in that dream, as I woke up in tears, I could hardly talk, but I realized what I must do. I must give it all up. For the world is not worthy of a missionary to leave his gospel in order to make money. I got a job that is bigger than that. And somebody else can go do that. But I got to do what he's called me to do. He was teaching me in the dream. It wasn't that I was actually transported into hell, but just to see the fires of hell and them perishing. And then he made me plead, Lord God, no. Please, would you send me? That became more important than all the money in the world. He was instructing me. And I'm telling you out of his word, he instructs us as we sleep, as we walk, as we see the birds, as your mom speaks, as your teacher, as you read your Bible, as your conscience hears and says, hey, you're wrong. Listen, it's God talking. This is what he says. Chapter number 33. I'll start at verse 12. But I tell you that you are wrong in this matter, since God is greater than man. Why do you take him to court for not answering anything a person asks? It's like he's saying, I've been praying, I've been calling out to God, and I'm not going to get any answer. No, it's for God speaks time and again, but a person may not notice. He may not hear that a reproof from the parent or the teacher or the fire marshal. It was at the church yesterday after the preaching. It was a fire marshal that was telling us how to be safe in case of a fire. But what happens if you don't listen and the fire comes? God sent warning. In a dream, in a vision in the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber on their beds, he uncovers their ears at that time and terrifies them with warnings. The conscience is something to be heard. The conscience tells us right and wrong. The conscience is what God has given to every person. It's called his law that's been written upon our heart.
It tells us not to steal. It tells us to do good instead of evil. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And he speaks unto us in his word. And when the conscience is seared, we will do anything and think nothing of it. There's a boy here I heard is a Fulani that did some horrible, horrible things in Islam. Have you heard how many things that he's done? Has it caused you to be warned and say, I don't want to go that direction? Have you seen his repentance and said, I must repent too. It's not only him that's a sinner. It's me too. I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need to be holy with God. That's what your conscience does, and it's supposed to be an action. Don't silence it, or you can't hear from God in repentance. You must pay attention to what's on the inside and unto the voice of God in every place that he gives it. Even old age and pain are God speaking unto us. He aches our body to remind us, I'm going to death and then the judgment. Why don't I be wise? Young men are not strong forever. Healthy men are not always healthy. It's a warning from God. It's mercy. It is God saying, cry out unto me. You need me. The second death is coming. He uncovers, verse 16, their ears at that time and terrifies them with warnings in order to turn a person from his actions and suppress his pride. God spares his soul from the pit, his life from crossing the river of death. It's not all of a sudden. It's a slow decline. A person may be disciplined on his bed with pain. Have you ever heard of Kobe Bryant? Who's heard of Kobe Bryant? If you were in America, every one of you would have heard of Kobe Bryant. And he died just like that. That's a warning. That's God speaking to the United States. And to all my friends back home, he's telling you, get ready to meet God now. It was Charles Spurgeon said that just because this person has died all of a sudden, we still think it won't happen unto us. But why won't it? That's a warning. Everything is a warning. It's instruction. The seed, it must be plowed into the ground. You don't just throw it. You take care of it. It sprouts up. And then it produces fruit. That's eternal life. The seed dies. It comes alive. It bears even more fruit after it's buried. He's teaching us the gospel in everything in this world. If we're listening. Even the mighty are removed without effort. For his eyes watch over a man's ways and he observes all his steps. Whoops, it's the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. Verse number 20. And so that he detests bread and his soul despises his favorite food as he gets weak or old or he's sick. His flesh wastes away to nothing and his unseen bones begin to stick out. He's being warned by a merciful God. He draws near to the pit and his life unto the executioners. What warnings have you heard from God that you have not heeded? I remember that when I repented and the Lord God recovered me from a whole lot of sin, he told me before he recovered me and as he recovered me, he flashed me back to the decisions I had made as I turned my heart against God. and it led me astray for 17 years. And he said, look, right here. That's when you decided not to listen. That's when you said, I don't need you. I can do the ministry on my own. Listen to your conscience. Don't think that God doesn't hear your thoughts. He hears, he knows, and he instructs you. And he warns you right then and right now.
If we listen, if we don't think, I'm special, I can sin and I get away with it. I've been chosen. I'm wise now. Oh, I'm doing good. It doesn't matter about this bad. If we would listen, we'd be wise. And here's my last point. He's found a ransom. My brother pastor, he's found the forgiveness of our sins by a price. Our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven all that we've ever done by his shed blood.
That's right.
He is the reason that we do not go to hell and perish. He is the reason that we are righteous with God. He is the reason that we have the blessing, that we have everything that God can give his people in Jesus Christ. Because he paid for it, and he bought us back from our sin. That's right. If me and you, if we believe his gospel, he's paid for our sin. Look what he says in the book of Job, chapter 33. He's talking about this man that's being brought very near unto the pit with painful chastisements. It can be in my body, but ultimately the chastisement is in my soul. I begin to see my soul as weak and corrupted and dying and dead and on its way to meet God, and I haven't paid attention. But if there is a messenger, verse number 23, on his side, as this man knows, I'm near unto the executioners. I'm almost going down unto the pit. I've got sin all over me. I cannot get rid of it. I'm getting what I deserve. I need to get righteous with God. I need to repent. How? Help me. If there is a messenger on his side, one mediator out of 1,000, a very rare preacher of the gospel, someone sent by God with truth. Not just someone talking, but sent by him to you to tell a person about his uprightness, how righteous and holy God is, and to be gracious to him and say, spare him from going down unto the pit. I found a ransom. Oh, you sinners, I've had your sins forgiven by Jesus Christ. It's not that you are innocent. It's not that you and I are not guilty.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ paid the price
for us.
His life was laid down for the forgiveness of sin. Because God's justice, it must be satisfied. Oh. He must pay for our sin to forgive us himself. So he became a man. And he walked this world perfectly. And he was obedient even unto the death. And even while he died here upon the cross, paying for our sin, his heart was obeying God, while God the Father was crushing him and punishing him for us. That's why I'm free. And in that ransom, in that price, Pastor, you pay for everything.
Yeah.
Every blessing. Yes. Each and every woe turning unto my good. predestination. He paid for you and me to be chosen by God and ordained to eternal life. He paid the price.
Yes.
He made God able to save you. So that God can be holy and his justice, it can be satisfied. Now the justice of God, it is content and happy to see us saved. He says, you can show mercy. I'm satisfied. I'm paid in full. With the kidnappers, and I'm almost done here. They would take a person and they want a ransom. It's unjust. It's man stealing. It's murder. It's evil.
Yes.
But you pay that price and they're supposed to let him go. But the justice of God, the wrath of God, it had us kept tight lawfully. It said, you sin, you die. Even God said so. It had us bound. And the devil was holding us captive. Because we could not get to God. And he could not get to us except by a sacrifice. His son's blood. And when he paid the ransom of his life, of his own precious blood, he paid the justice of God. He didn't pay the devil. He paid God to unlock his mercies. And then God came and rescued your soul. The ransom price had been paid. Are you forgiven of all your sin? Are you, sir? I'm forgiven, sir. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every blessing is already earned.
Yes.
Our holiness, our righteousness, our heaven,
yes,
paid in full.
Yes.
All by Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So listen unto me now. And believe on him. Put your trust in him. He's found a ransom. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.